You're tuned in to the Talk of Connecticut Radio Network, Mornings with Gary Byron,
the Republican voice of reason.
It is a big year, 2024. Look, we're only at February 27th. We're only at the end of February. March 1st is Friday. But there's a lot going on, right? I mean, we all know that we're voting for our state representatives and our state senators. We've covered that. We've even, you know, we'll be getting more and more candidates as we get into the summer months, of course, and the campaign season. But let's not forget we're also electing a Congress. That's every 2 years, right? And we know Mike France, we came into the legislature together, a great guy. You know, I love talking with him because we've got a lot in common. He's running against Joe Courtney again, right? And George Logan, who I only served one term with, he was in Senate my second term in the House, running again against Johanna Hayes. I think you get a couple of bites at the apple, right? We'd have with Tom Foley, I think Linda McMahon, even with Bob Stefanowski. But let's not also forget U.S. Senate against Chris Murphy. We had Jerry Smith live in studio on Friday for the full hour taking questions. And there's a lot that's happening within the Republican Party, not here only on the state side, but also nationally, right? I mean, we had a big primary in South Carolina. That's the home state of Nikki Haley, former governor, and she lost and lost pretty handedly to Donald Trump. And the question, of course, is it Donald Trump's party? Is he the face of the Republican Party? And what would happen, win, lose, or draw, 4 years from now? Where are we? He can no longer run for president. Do we go back to establishment, or has he set a precedence? Ronna McDaniel steps down, or is stepping down, March 8th, right? That's Friday of next week. There's a lot on our plate. Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 9-11 here on this Tuesday morning. So glad to have you on board the old morning train. Our next guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company Interview Chair typically joins us at 7 o'clock hour every other Tuesday. But he's brought himself a guest. And hold on a second. It gets better. Live in studio and in for the entire hour, even taking your phone calls when we go to open phones at the bottom half of the hour, let me welcome both Ben Proto, the Connecticut chairman of the Republican Party here in Connecticut. Do you want to introduce your guest, or would you like me to? You whatever you'd like to do.
I'd love to. Thanks,
all right,
Gary.
I'll give you the honor. It is your guest, after all.
Thanks, Gary. And
just a little closer to the microphone, that's all.
Well, thanks, Gary, and appreciate once again being in studio. Looking forward to you moving to the bigger, better studio soon.
you can't wait. We can't wait.
Yeah.
And last time we talked, I think you were without your coffee in our snowstorm.
That's right.
So you now have your coffee, so you're a happy man. You're doing well. I got mine. Drew's got his. Joey's got his. We're doing coffee this morning. We're all good. So it's a good Tuesday morning on the Gary Byron show.
I don't know how you remember. That was a good. That was 2 weeks ago today.
2 weeks ago today.
I did not have the coffee.
2 weeks ago today. But rather than listening to me and me droning on for an hour and listening to you drone on for hours on end, I've brought a friend of mine with us today. Drew McKissick, and Drew is the chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party and currently serves as the co-chairman of the Republican National Committee with Ronna McDaniel as the chair. And Drew has done a great job since he's been co-chair, was elected last January when we were out in California, and Drew has been just a wonderful asset to our party for many years, and particularly over these last 15 months. He's been tremendously helpful to the Connecticut Republican Party in many ways, and to me personally as chairman and as my friend. So Drew's here with us in Connecticut for a day or so, and then going over to our friends in Rhode Island for a day or so, and wanted to come talk to the great Gary Byron and his audience today. So my friend Drew McKissick.
Drew, Drew, welcome. You're on fire, huh?
You know, the way he described the show, I had to come. I mean, it was just, there was no way. I had to come see this guy.
Are you sure you wanted to come on to this show? Because, listen, I pull no punches.
Was I misinformed?
No. Actually, you're on fire. I'm just listening to your agenda.
Yeah.
And I think I articulated the state of the Republican Party or what's on the immediate agenda for it. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of get into that.
This has
been an interesting week, to say the least, for you with
it's
the
politics.
Announcement.
It's always interesting. What are you talking about?
Well, you obviously, listen, with the announcement yesterday, it actually happened in the middle of the show that we broke the news that Rana was going to be stepping down effective March 8th. Obviously, this is a discussion that you two have last week or the weeks leading up to this. Mm-hmm. And you'd only taken, she's been in office and she's been the chair for 7 years, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. You about a year,
one,
right?
Yes.
What led to the decision mm-hmm. and what influence did you have mm-hmm. in it?
Well, as far as influence on the decision, none. So how this comes about. So just looking at things from sort of a 30,000 foot level. Every cycle, when you have a nominee, and particularly at this point when we get to what is known as a presumptive nominee. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you have someone who's about to get to 50% of the delegates. This person is going to be the nominee. Either all the other candidates have dropped out, or you get to the mathematical threshold where it doesn't matter if they drop out, this person is going to be the nominee. Typically what you have is a merger that takes place between the nominee's campaign and the RNC. And it's really just a matter of degrees, when you go back in history to the extent to which that happens. Sometimes it's the political department or the finance department, fundraising or communications or leadership. And so the campaign will come in and say, well, we want these certain people from the campaign to be working in the RNC. Because at the end of the day, what you want is both organizations essentially be on the same page in every capacity,
okay?
So that we're not wasting resources, we're not doing things in a duplicative manner, that everybody's got the same idea in terms of strategy and what we want to get done, how we want to get it done, and that the nominee and the campaign has that comfort level with what's going on in the RNC in terms of leadership. Of course, you've heard a lot of the news bits as far as the Trump campaign, as far as Ronald was concerned. And this has been sort of in the works for, let's say a month or a little bit more, most likely. But we have what's known as let's call it a gender equity rule, which has been part of the RNC's rules for, I guess probably 50 or 60 years, that the co-chair and the chair have to be of the opposite sex.
Is that right?
Yes. So Trump has, decided that he would like the North Carolina chairman to be the chairman of the RNC. Well, he's a male, and, I don't wear women's clothes, and so that kind of edges me out as far as that's concerned.
At least not on Tuesdays.
So I don't identify as a woman. So in that sense, you're going to have a woman come in and be co-chair. But, so we've had a lot of good conversations about what everybody can bring to the table in the right capacity and who sort of sits where, does what. I'll continue to be involved with the RNC, with the campaign going forward in this election cycle. So it's just a matter of changing titles at some point. Putting a different hat on and continuing to do the things you've been doing. So I've worked as co-chair for last year. Big thing for me is state parties, what they need in terms of helping them be productive, be effective, and that's what I'll probably continue to focus
on.
Yeah,
and I want to talk about the role that the RNC has with helping states. And because what we would always hear is, the RNC is not going to get behind this candidate because they don't see it as a winnable seat. Mm-hmm. We're not going to, they'll help George Logan because that's winnable. They might help Mike France because they say that as, well, the secondary, second to George Logan's seat. Or what am I saying? Well, the second and
Joe
the fifth,
Corey.
Right, Joe Corey, congressional districts. But everything else they look at is not winnable. Somebody that wants to maybe go against Chris Murphy, they don't look at it as winnable. Mm. So therefore, the RNC is not going to back the candidate. Speak to that.
All right, so in every party, whether it's a county party, a state party, or a national party, you've got limited resources in terms of funding, in terms of manpower, in terms of time on a calendar. So as you look at all that and you look at what your opportunities are, so you do your research, you see what your opportunities are in terms of what's winnable, okay? To begin with, this is always a moving target. So things change throughout the course of an election cycle. So to begin with, before we go into candidate filing, for instance, so South Carolina, we do that in March. So as we're looking at those races early on, before we have filing, we think, well, crap, this is a potentially winnable seat. We got to have a candidate to run for sheriff here or for state house or state senate here. Mm-hmm. We got to do some recruitment. And we beat the bushes. We work with the local officials. Same thing happens at the national level. So you got the recruitment phase. And then when you move past that, you look at how things have changed on the ground. Is this candidate actually raising the money that they need to raise? Do they have the good organizational infrastructure that they need to have? So that changes throughout the course of the cycle. As you get further along, your targeting plan becomes closer and closer into focus. Okay, so at the national level, you've got not just the RNC, you've got the National Republican Congressional Committee, the Senate Committee, okay? All of those have their own resources.
Like HERC and, right, and even on the state level. Yeah.
So typically, they will then begin to come together, sit down, and look at how this has changed, what we all agree our main targets are, our most winnable targets are, and then leveraging their joint resources together on those campaigns. So what, and I can say, at least from the South Carolina perspective, so in the 22 cycle, we netted 7 state house seats in South Carolina. 4 of those were in districts we haven't won in 150 years.
Wow.
So what happened, you know, at the beginning of the year, we weren't even targeting these seats, okay? So these were not target priorities for us. But we get all the way to, say, August or September, and we're thinking, heck, man, the numbers are looking really, really good here. We got our latest set of targeting data, and they do the data manipulation there in terms of who the likely Republicans, likely Democrats, and all the social and consumer information they overlay on top of the voter files, and it gives us a better picture. 3 weeks out from the campaign, we said, we're just going to sink a bunch of money in these other 4 state house seats. And we ended up winning. We caught them napping, okay? Same thing can happen at the national level. So what we might think is not a targeted race today, mm-hmm, may be come August and September.
Gotcha. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break now. When we come back, I want to talk to you about early voting, because I know South Carolina has it,
yep,
and it actually favored Republicans. Then again, mm-hmm, South Carolina, unlike Connecticut, is a Republican state. We're going to break that down, talk a little bit about the controversy with Ronna McDaniel as well. More with not only Drew McKissick, but also more with Ben Proto right after this.
Time is precious. Between work, the kids, and caring for an ailing mom, I have less and less free time. So the time I spend with mom, I want to be meaningful. That's why I leave the cooking, cleaning, and laundry to Euro American Home Care for You. They do it all so that my time with mom is about us, not chores.
Make your time together memorable and leave the cleaning, cooking, laundry, bathing, and errands to Euro American Home Care of Berlin. 860-829-0208. That's 860-829-0208. Online at homecare4u.com. For over 20 years, Yankee Peddler & Pawn has been Connecticut's most trustworthy pawn shop, buying and selling gently used items where the customer is always favored. All 3 of their locations, their friendly and honest staff are committed to providing you with a great experience by quickly appraising your items to get you fast cash, priding themselves on offering your honest and discreet transactions. Visit one of their 3 locations in Groton, New London, and on Pickens Street in East Hartford. Online at YankeePeddlerAndPawn.com.
You're tuned in to the Talk of Connecticut Radio Network, Mornings with Gary Byron,
the Republican voice of reason.
22 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, it's Gary Byron, our guest. Not only Ben Proto, the chairman of the Connecticut Republican Party, he's brought a guest with him this morning, live in studio. In fact, not only live in studio, but I can tell you, Ben's going to be able to take your phone calls when we go to open phones at the bottom half. So if you want to get in the queue and wait a little while, but you want to make sure that you get on, certainly give us a call, 860-243-1360. Drew McKissick, he is the co-chair of the RNC with Ronna McDaniel. There's 2 questions I have that I want to make sure I don't run out of time for. And one of them has to do with the shots that, you would hear at these debates, whether it was Vivek that was offering these shots to Ronna or Trump. And there's a part of me that I wasn't even going to ask that question because when you are in an authoritative position, Ben, you know more than anyone. You've got to have thick skin. You're going to take the good and the bad, and you're only going to hear probably more bad than good. Myself, as a former elected House member here in Connecticut, where, you know, it wasn't all, oh, Gary, you're doing a great job. It's, hey, what about this and this and this, you know, and that's fine. That's what I signed up for. I have no problem with that. But when you hear it in a debate from fellow Republicans, it's one thing to get somebody in my face at a town hall from the opposing party. That's understandable. But when it's presidential candidates on a debate stage and they're going after the RNC chairs, we're, at the end of the day, we're still all human beings. What's the sentiment like with the RNC, and really from you and Rana?
Well, I would say this probably applies to everybody in leadership positions in a party around the country. And in Rana's case there with the debates, state party chairman, Ben, myself, you know, as you point out, everybody thinks, you've got a title. You ought to be able to fix everything I'm mad about. You know, and it doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know, political parties, and I like to put it this way, if we didn't exist, so political parties are campaign committees. Mm-hmm. Our job is to win campaigns. If we didn't exist, you know, all these, and we've got a lot of great, wonderful conservative organizations in the conservative ecosystem out there. You know, Heritage Foundation, Cato,
Right.
Go down the list. Great.
Yep.
We do great policy work. And a lot of good elected officials who do good, you know, work driving an agenda. If the party didn't exist, they'd all be sitting around one evening having cigars and, you know, we ought to start a committee that just focuses on winning campaigns. That would be a good idea. Let's do that. That's what we are. That's our job, okay? We are not the policy organization. We come together around a consensus document called a platform, okay? We probably agree on 90% of the time. We disagree maybe 10% of the time. That's fine. Okay, this is our consensus document. Now we need to put together a committee to go recruit candidates, raise money, communicate a message, do the organization that we need to do in order to get out the vote and win. Because losers don't make policy. You know, the guy or gal who lost, they don't get a phone call going, what do you think the tax rates ought to be? Mm. That doesn't happen. Right. You know, should CRT be in our schools? What do you think? Like, no, they don't get those phone calls. Our job is to go win and put the organization together to make it happen.
But the record exactly hasn't been on our favor. We've had some very, you know, we've had some great losses.
Correct.
The RNC.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Last couple of cycles, and I would say you've got, and there's a lot of blame to go around for that, quite frankly. Some of it, I would say, yes, has been with the campaign organizations, with the party, with the candidates, in some cases, with the messaging from the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, when Democrats come and drop several million dollars on your head, claiming that basically, you know, you're the spawn of Satan, you know, as far as to everybody else who's watching television, and you spend absolutely no money trying to, defending yourself here or setting the record straight, then in the absence of setting the record straight, everybody believes that you're the spawn of Satan, you know. And so the campaigns and candidates have to learn not to let the other guys set the narrative. You know, one of the things, one of my political heroes for a long time has been Lee Atwater, was chairman of the party way back in the day. He was from South Carolina.
Yeah.
He was RNC chair when I was in College Republicans. And just watching him and watching what he did from an organizational standpoint and from a strategic standpoint, you do not win on defense. You win on offense. You know, this is not one of those things where defense wins championships. That doesn't work in politics. We're not playing defense. Our job is to put the other guys on their heels and make them explain themselves.
Okay. I've only got a couple of minutes remaining before we take another break and then we go come back with open phones. I have to ask you about early voting in South Carolina and the impact that it had.
Huge, huge. So we first adopted that 2 years ago. So we first had it in the 22 election cycle, result of an election integrity bill that we passed looking at things that went right and wrong back in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the problems in South Carolina that a lot of other states had, but that didn't mean we couldn't. So we corrected a lot of things in our law, made it very, very tight. I think Heritage ranks us as the third most secure, you know, election law in the country. What we did, though, is we clawed back mail-in absentee ballots and the excuses for it. We had like 17 excuses where you could do mail-in paper absentees.
Mm-hmm.
We clawed that back to like five or six excuses, and not just being out of town on election day, but you had to be out of town or unavailable through the entire 12-day early voting period. And then we move people to early in-person.
Two-minute stations.
You got to show the photo ID, show up in person. We got three locations per county. They can't be changed once they've been announced. So we know where to do poll watching and poll security. And comparison, in 2020, we had 500,000 mail-in absentee ballots. In 22, when we adopted the early in-person voting, that ramped back to 40,000. from $500,000 to $40,000. Much, much more secure. And we had 17% in our Republican primary who used it. And in this cycle for our primary,
see, I hear
last
this
week,
from
27%.
You, but that's South Carolina. It's a sure. Republican state. Connecticut is deep blue, right?
All right. Well, so, all right. So I'd argue with that point. Okay. So you've probably looked at South Carolina and thought, this is a red state for decades, right? No. Up until the early 70s, they didn't even print Republican or Democrat in the legislative manual. I mean, everybody was a Democrat, okay? What happened was you had a lot of folks who would vote Republican for president because they were culturally conservative. Down the ballot, they were voting Democrat because they're related to the sheriff, they go to church with the county council member. It's all relationships, okay? What's happened over time is more of the, that place, that line, where, that level where they're splitting their ticket has moved further and further down the ballot.
All right.
Best number to illustrate that. First time in the history of South Carolina, we beat them on straight ticket voting, was in 16. We beat them by 2 points statewide, in 18 by 8 points. In 20, we beat them by 17. Last year, we beat them by 27 points statewide.
Well, you're moving in the right direction. I've only got a few seconds. Nikki Haley, South Carolina's Nikki Haley. Should she stay in the race?
You know, at some point, a campaign has to do some soul searching. And you've got to look. I mean, look, you get whipped by 20 points in your home state. There's no other way to define that. That's a whipping.
All right. Yeah. Look, you got South Carolina in common. I had to ask, and I think that's pretty much the sentiment I think we all have. Okay. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, open phones, 860-243-1360, and you'll be on with Ben Provo. Stay there.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Negotiators working on a
.com/JOY.
Tuned in to the Talk of Connecticut Radio Network, Mornings with Gary Byron,
the Republican voice of reason.
Six on this Tuesday morning. It's Gary Byron. Our guest is Ben Provo. He's the chairman of the Connecticut Republican Party. And we've been talking with his guest, who is the co-chair, along with Ronna McDaniel, Drew McKissick. And up until, well, Ronna stays until Friday, March 8th. But Drew's sticking around. You got to beat Drew off with a stick for him not to be involved in the Republican Party. Before we go to open phones, by the way, let me just remind you, we just had George Agnelli in here. I mean, couldn't ask for a better time. We're talking about Anderson Jewelers, of course, at 1015 Main Street in East Hartford. Look, you can get jewelry at any jewelry store, right? We know the national chains, and usually they're in these affluent communities. You think of, you know, West Hartford Center or Glastonbury. There's a number. Farmington Valley, all throughout. They're good jewelers, but pricey. The malls, you've got 8 to 10, 12 jewelers all under one roof. But again, I mean, you buy something in a mall. I mean, it's not cheap. And markup on jewelry is pretty hefty to begin with. This is all the more the reason to head to Anderson Jewelers at 1015 Main Street in East Hartford. Number one, it's not an affluent community. The parking is free and it's right next to the building. They own the building. They've had it paid off. It's generations in the family. And it's also family oriented. So listen, you can say you bought the jewelry at one of these posh national chain stores. That's fine. George doesn't care. I don't care, and you shouldn't care. But unless you like throwing your money down the toilet, get it at Anderson Jewelers, 1015 Main Street in East Hartford. Same quality, same clarity, but not the same price. Much, much lower. Anderson Jewelers, 1015 Main Street in East Hartford. All right. Open phones, 860-243-1360. And we have got a full line of callers. Hold on. Where do you want to go? Let's start with Pete in North. Let's go to Pete in Northford. Pete, good morning. You are on with all of us.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Narrows it down.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
After the 2022 debacle, both statewide and nationwide, regarding the Republicans and the elections, I had called and said that in order for any significant changes to occur, we had to change leadership. In other words, we had to get rid of the Kevin McCarthys, we had to get rid of the Ronna McDaniels, and we had to get rid of the Mitch McConnells. Now, we're two down. Okay, two down and one to go. And I think one of the most underreported stories over the weekend was that the number two Republican, John Thune, okay, came out and endorsed Donald Trump. So my question is, how long is it going to take Mitch McConnell to come out and endorse Donald Trump? Or is this just a sign that he's about to be replaced also?
I think that's a great question.
Can you put his mic on? There we go. Go ahead.
I think that's a great question for Mitch McConnell. And if you call down to his office, I'm sure he'd be more than happy to answer it for you. I have no idea, and I don't think Drew has any idea of what Mitch McConnell's going to do.
Drew needs a pair of headphones. Drew could not hear any of that because we don't have a pair of headphones for him. But we will work on getting that. Joe is on using the phone. Can he just use a pair of headphones temporarily? Thanks, man. I appreciate that. We got to get an extra pair. We got to have a whole, like...
Well, when you move into the new
there's
office,
there's about
Garrett.
Six in the other studio. There's all the sorts studio. Of, we got everything you'd ever need.
That's it.
Okay. Go ahead. Ben, feel free to comment on Pete from Northford's statement.
Sure. I have no idea what Mitch McConnell's going to do. I don't think Drew knows what Mitch McConnell's going to do. I think only Mitch McConnell knows what Mitch McConnell's going to do. And unless and until Senator McConnell makes that decision and announcement, I can't tell you what he's going to do.
Well, I'm not looking for you guys to read his mind. I mean, you guys are the insiders, right? You know what's going on, the inside baseball. And again, until the establishment gets pretty much pushed out, there's not going to be any significant change, neither in the national, in my opinion, neither on the national scene or the state scene. And as far as the RNC in Connecticut goes, we know the RNC probably does not care too much about Connecticut, because as far as Connecticut goes, the juice just ain't worth the squeeze. So, we'll stick around here and we'll get the crumbs, but until any major changes happen in the party, you're not going to see a lot of people here in this state supporting the party.
Well, I would absolutely disagree with the RNC doesn't care about Connecticut. They've made a huge investment in the state of Connecticut since I've been chairman, probably well over $1.5 million, and are continuing to invest in Connecticut. And I know with the change in the leadership from Rana to Mike Watley, that's going to continue. I've had conversations with both Rana and Michael. Drew and I talk pretty regularly about it, and they're committed to helping us grow our party. They're committed to helping us really utilize the early voting process that's going to come in place in 2024 that we believe and we know from data around the country is a game changer for Republicans. So the RNC, I think, is committed to Connecticut. I know Drew is committed to Connecticut. Rana has been committed to Connecticut. And I know Mike Watley is. And I believe once Laura Trump is there, she will understand the importance of Connecticut as we build to move forward. Because remember one thing about Connecticut, that one of the mistakes that we've made so many times is we live in Connecticut from November to November with no long-term plan in place. And 24 is an important election for us, but 26 and 28 are going to be tremendously important elections for us. And everything we do now builds to the 26 and 28 cycles. As Gary mentioned earlier on, in 28, whether it's Joe Biden or Donald Trump who wins in November, neither one of them can run again in 2028. So the presidential primary in 2028 is going to be a free-for-all on both sides. Dick Blumenthal seat will be up in 2028.
And I don't see him running again.
He's not running again.
No.
I think we're going to see open congressional seats in 2026 with no U.S. Senate race. So to say that the RNC, the NRCC, the NRSC, the RGA are not invested in Connecticut is a complete mistake.
Do you see Ned Lamont running again?
I don't think he will. I think we all know that third terms for governors tend to not do very well.
Very true.
And Ned has been trying to ride what he believes is a strong economy. I don't see that continuing for him through the rest of this term. Right. And so I don't think he's going
to
run.
Let's go to Christine in Middletown. Christine, good morning. You're on.
Hi, gentlemen. Good morning. Ben, I have a question or a concern. Back in October, Moms for Liberty, Hartford County had a symposium in Avon entitled Parental Rights, What's the Controversy? We tried to keep the meeting location secret, but the Avon Democrats posted it on their page, and it spread like wildfire to all other Democrat pages and other groups. And there was only one person in the Connecticut GOP. That was State Senator Rob Sampson. He was on the panel, so was I that day, that stuck up in support of Moms for Liberty. We haven't seen anyone else. I feel like we were abandoned on that.
I'm sorry I feel that way. I, as I recall, with that particular, I was informed about it a couple of days before it happened. And I think the other side of it is that, you know, at that point in time, you know, we were looking at the municipal cycle and we were looking at races in other parts of the state. And I think as Drew had talked about earlier on, you get down to targeting, and your races, your target races get smaller and smaller the closer you get to Election Day. And we were, from the state perspective, we were looking at some other places at that time. So I apologize if you feel slighted by it or abandoned. It was not our intention to do that. I think at that point in time, we were really focusing what limited resources we had in some other areas.
All right, let's go to Aaron in Fairfield. Aaron, good morning. You are on with Ben. Andrew?
Hi. Ben, so Wanda Jeter got in trouble with, you know, sarcastically, I mean, paid time off, basically. But there was an entire support system behind her. Obviously, there must have been people who had processed these fraudulent votes that she put into a box. And you know, there's a whole fraud support staff, basically, that goes along when someone, you know, she didn't work in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. So the question is, understanding that this is going on, and obviously this has all shed a light on it, even though no one else got into trouble or was questioned regarding all of this support staff that allowed these ballots to go through for Ganim.
And Gomes.
What is the Republican Party doing to offset what I think is obvious but possible fraud in Connecticut with election? Because without election integrity, as I've discussed with Gary many times, we're really just spinning our wheels.
People don't trust the
election integrity.
You know,
there's no system. We're going to vote, but if our votes don't count, then what's the point?
So, you know, when that whole scandal broke last fall in September, October of last year, when we actually had the video of them shoving ballots into the ballot box in violation of any number of laws in the state of Connecticut, because remember, ballot harvesting in Connecticut is against the law. That's not supposed to happen, and it's illegal. And you can theoretically go to jail for it, although no one has ever gone to jail in Connecticut for absentee ballot fraud, even though every case of absentee ballot fraud that's been brought to the State Elections Commission or to the criminal court have involved Democrats. There hasn't been a single Republican who's been charged with absentee ballot fraud in probably the last 20 years. So when that happened, you know, we had a special session at that time, and the Republicans proposed major changes to those laws, which the Democrats said, nope, not going to do that. Why? Because, well, they benefit from the illegality that occurs. And look, Wanda Jeter is currently under criminal indictment for doing the exact same thing in 2019 that she did in 2023.
But I think to Aaron's point, she didn't act alone. There was other people that were part of that.
But you
don't hear about them prosecuted.
Well, they also weren't on the video. But I think that's not true. Right now, there's three people who were referred for criminal indictment by Elections Enforcement for the 2019 absentee ballot scandal.
But the one that occurred last year.
And in 2023, there's currently, I believe, somewhere between 25 and 30 complaints before the State Elections Commission. Remember, it first has to go under our rules to the Elections Enforcement Commission, who reviews all of this. Okay. They make certain findings. They have the ability to refer for criminal prosecution. That will take some time. Unfortunately, our process, our wheels of justice do turn slowly. I anticipate we're going to see criminal referrals from the 2023 cycle. It's just going to take some time. Remember, we're only in March of 2024. Right. And in fact, I think the fourth special election in Bridgeport, I think, is today.
But yeah, it is. It is. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on.
Hey, guys. So listen, as far as the Republicans in Connecticut go, it's all about missed opportunities. And I love to use timelines and statistics. So June of 2021, after June of 2021, Omicron hadn't even come until that fall. There were 22 executive orders by Governor Lamont, destructive to Connecticut after June of 2021. You know who was appointed chairman of the Republican Party on June of 2021 was
I was,
Odo.
and the legislature
tell, on,
the legislature
like
undertook the legislature. No, Mark, we're not going to play this game. I've done this every time I've come here, so we're not playing this game anymore. The reality of the situation is the executive orders were in place. We regularly put out statements opposing those, calling on those to be changed. Our legislature, Republicans in the legislature, moved legislation to overturn those. Those were failed. The Republican Party moved as best we could with a small majority. You want to change things, Mark? I tell you what, stop calling into this show. Go start knocking on doors for candidates. Go start giving money to candidates. Go start working for candidates. That's how we change things. We don't change things with press releases. We don't change things with the party chairman calling out Governor Lamont. We change things by people like you and people who call in working for candidates to go get them elected. That's how we change things. So that's my challenge to you, Mark. Stop calling this show and go knock on doors.
Okay, let's go to Adam in East Hartford. Adam, you're on with Ben and Drew.
Ben and Drew, and Ben was good to me. He talked to me about a month ago where he did say that, you know, not everybody's on the Trump train, has to be forced out. And I respect Pete from Norfolk because every caller, you know, has a right to their opinion. But I think what Pete's on this one ticket train with Trump. And what I'm saying is, remember my fellow Republican U.S. Senator from Nebraska, Benjamin Sass? You guys remember him?
Sure. He's now president of in Florida.
Well, he said, he's former. He said that he's not going to make his politics about the weird worship of one dude. So I think both of us are in agreement that it can't be just one guy that saves this nation. And my question for you two fellows, if Trump's in court every week, what happens during that election period?
That's why Nikki's hanging in the. that's why Nikki's hanging in there. She's hoping that continues.
South Carolina going to come to the rescue.
Exactly.
I think the reality is you're right. No one person is going to make this happen. And look, here's the thing. Let's assume Donald Trump wins the election in November. And he is president of the United States. What good does it do to have Donald Trump as the president of the United States if the Democrats hold a majority, a substantial majority, in the House of Representatives and the United States Senate? Because here's the thing. Sometime in the next 4 years, there's probably going to be at least one, if not more, U.S. Supreme Court justices who are going to leave the court one way or the other. That's going to require a Senate confirmation. If the Democrats control the Senate, you're pretty sure you're not going to see a Justice Kavanaugh or Justice Comey-type person being nominated because they won't be able to get approved. So you're right. It's not about just Donald Trump. And I'm going to say this, and my friend Drew is sitting next to me. I know Chris LaCivita, who's going to be taking over as the chief operating officer for the RNC, recently said that the sole purpose of the RNC is to elect the president. I disagree with him. I think that's our primary purpose. But our mission is to elect Republicans up and down the ballot.
I agree.
To elect Republicans to the state houses, to the state senate, to county offices, and
Congress.
If you have Congress, to the United States Senate. Because if we're going to change things in this state, if we're going to change things in this country, we need more Republicans who make common sense decisions, making those decisions. And the way we do that, quite frankly, and Gary and I, we've talked about this before, and particularly in Connecticut, we have to stop having the attitude of I'd rather be right than win. Because the way you become right is you win. You then get to make the rules. So I absolutely agree with you that this can't just be about one man running for president. It has to be about our Republican Party. We have to go out and elect Republicans up and down this ballot, which is why I challenged the previous caller. It's great that you call into Gary Byron. I know Gary loves it, and I enjoy having the conversation. But if you want to make the change, go out and start knocking on doors. Start talking to your neighbors. Give that $5 to your state House or state Senate candidate so they can qualify for their CEP money. Support the party. Give money, time, and effort to the party, to our candidates. We do that. It's going to be really difficult for us not to be successful.
All right, we are going to take our final break. It's the shortest break of the show. It's our final break of the show, and then we will come right back. Stay there. Phone lines are still open, by the way. This is the time of year to enjoy life. Stop letting that pain in your joints keep you from doing what you love to do this spring. Call QC Kinetics now. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. I'm talking lasting joint pain relief with no surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. It's a fact. QC Kinetics is literally transforming lives. Their advanced treatment harnesses your own body's ability to restore and repair damaged joint tissue. So you can walk and run and climb stairs and play golf and move again pain-free. No pain pills, no risky surgery. This is an all-natural solution. QC Kinetics has tens of thousands of satisfied patients who have reclaimed their mobility. So take action now and live your best life this spring and summer. It's a great use of your tax refund check, by the way. Call QC Kinetics today for a free consultation with offices in Avon, New Haven, and their new office in Glastonbury. 860-440-PAIN. 860-440-PAIN. That's 860-440-PAIN. Owning your own home should not be a difficult goal. Hi, it's Gary Byron, and with rents as high as they are right now, 2024 is the year to be owning. My friends at Putnam Agency Real Estate are committed to excellence and unlocking your home's value. For over 60 years, Putnam Agency Real Estate has sustained ever-evolving providing unmatched standards and proven strategies. Call Putnam Agency Real Estate at 860-628-5691 and online at PutnamAgencyRealEstate.com.
Mornings with Gary Byron on the Talk of Connecticut Radio Network. Gary Byron, the Republican voice of reason.
Alrighty, 5 minutes in front of 10 o'clock. I'll tell you what, before I get to one more call, let me ask a final question, my question, and then I'll go to Mike in Hartford. Is this the new Republican Party? Like, if Trump goes away in 4 years, whether he wins or loses in November, are we away from the establishment Republican Party and this is the new direct? I guess the same could be said, by the way, with Democrats. And the moderate Democrats, the Kennedy, Blue Dog, you know, Democrats are thinking they're being taken over by the progressive wing of that party. And we're having a metamorphosis, if you will, happening in the Republican Party as well. Is this the future?
I'm not sure if I would say it's the future. I do think what we're going to see, and I've had this conversation with some other folks, is that you're going to see probably a more divided Congress. And I don't think any party is going to have the huge majorities that either party once enjoyed. You know, if you have
the Reagan and Tip O'Neill era is over.
Yeah. Then the problem that you have over, within both, I think, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and we see it right now because the Republicans are in charge, is the differences that exist within each caucus.
All right. I want to get to one last caller. Let's go to Mike in Hartford. Mike, if you can keep it quick, you're on.
Okay. I'll keep it quick. Thanks for taking my call. Does the Republican Party in Connecticut have a slogan at all? Like, you know, Trump has Make America Great Again. Republicans?
Make Connecticut great again. I don't know. Make Connecticut affordable again.
Yeah. No, we don't have a slogan, per se.
That's a good question, though. I like that question.
Well, it's a branding question,
right,
I guess.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, we're going to be doing some different things, you know, over the next number of months. You know, as Gary, as I told you, we're about to start producing a twice-a-month podcast from the Connecticut Republican Party, where we're going to have guests on, from mayors and first selectmen to legislators to folks like Drew. Hopefully have members of Congress who will join us for the podcast to talk about the Republican Party, both nationally and within Connecticut, and, you know, really kind of start to move the party into a more positive.
If I had a dream, I just want the Republican Party to unite.
Well, yeah, I think at the end of the day, you know, I think Drew
Drew's laughing.
You know,
here.
Drew what? Said it best.
Why can't we all just get along?
Why can't we all just get along?
Okay, you know? Rodney.
And that's you know, and we've talked about this before, Gary, and I know Drew talks about it all over the country, and Ron has talked about it all over the country. You know, you can't win if you're fighting with each other. And, you know, and I,
right.
And you know, I've always used the Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen analysis. They hated each other to the
day. But on the court.
Once they got on the court, man, they had a singular focus together, and that was to win the ball game and win the championship.
All right. I want to thank our two guests live in studio for the last hour, taking questions and from not only you, but from me as well. One, of course, Ben Proto, who will be with us again in 2 weeks in his normal time slot of 7 o'clock over the phone. More importantly for today, the RNC co-chair with Ronna McDaniel, Drew McKissick. It means a lot to me that you came in studio and talked to our listeners, and that really does. It resonates a lot, not only with me, but even them. I'll hear from them tomorrow. They'll say, that was great that you got them in.
Happy to do it.
Who do we have on tomorrow, if you can be quick?
Tomorrow, 7:10, investigative journalist George Colley. 8:10, our boy Lee Elsie from down the shoreline, and Brian Caffarelli at 9:10.
Brian Caffarelli, that'll be you're from DCP.
The commissioner.
Also, you, the listener, you're the backbone of the show. You get every hour on the half hour. We go live Monday through Friday mornings with Gary Byron, 6 till 10. Until then, you take real good care of yourself, my friends. You couldn't do it for a better person. Have a good one, everybody!
WDRC, W277DT, WDRC FM HD3 Hartford, WSNG, W283DO Torrington. The news is now.